Okay, so we're on Yivamot Daf Kufya Tet tonight, 119a. I'll begin in the Mishnah. So it's the beginning of a new parak. It's the last parak of Masechet Yivamot. It says, so it's talking about a woman who give them names. Reuven is married to Rachel, but he's also married to Bilhah. So man, Reuven has two wives, Rachel and Bilhah. Reuven takes Bilhah on a overseas tour and leaves Rachel behind. And then people came, and it means in a halachically acceptable manner, whatever the form was, they told her that your husband Reuben is dead. Now, as far as she knows, there were no children at the time he left. So it was no, and he says, Lo tina se b'lo tityabem. So the question is, should she do Yibum or not? So on the one hand, you would think she has to Yibum, but on the other hand, maybe the Tzara conceived when they were on the trip, and maybe she had a kid and she doesn't know about it, or she's pregnant. Lo tinaseh lo tityabem. So the Tana of the Mishnah says she can't remarry somebody because she didn't do Yibum or Chalitza. But she can't do Yibum either. Ashtei In other words, so she clarifies whether the Tzara, Bilhah, in my examples, was pregnant. Now it says, unless she is pregnant, i.e., her Sarah. It's like over both. The Gemara is going to ask on like all the language there. Okay, now, second case in the Mishnah. Haitala chamod. Now, a different case. Let's say a woman, Reuben, is married to Rachel, and they don't go on a trip. And then Reuben, Rachman Aslan, has a heart attack and dies one day. But as far as she's, there's no children, but as far as, but there are no siblings either. But if she has a mother-in-law and the mother-in-law took a trip, so she doesn't have to worry. Maybe the mother-in-law conceived on the trip and had another child. Now, if the mother-in-law conceived, the issues would be, did she conceive? And then if she conceived, was it, was it a boy or a girl? Because only like the son would be a Yibam situation. He says, yes, commonly, but if the mother-in-law left and she was pregnant when she left the community, then she has choshesh. Then she's got to worry. Maybe she gave birth to a male. In other words, in the first case, maybe she'll conceive and not conceive. Even if she conceives, maybe she'll miscarry. Even if she carries to term, maybe it's male or female. So in the first case, there are a lot of chashash involved. But if I know that she was pregnant already, so the first element is taken out of the equation. So he says, then she has to worry that maybe she gave birth to a male, in which case she's got a Yibam problem. Rabbi Yehuda says that you could say maybe she miscarried, and if she didn't miscarry, maybe it's a female. Okay, we're going to talk more about this in the Gemara, but any questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, I'm moving on.
Wait, I have a question.
Go ahead, quick.
If she did conceive and she did
Wait,
deliver a man,
which case are you talking about? We have two cases.
mother-in-law, the
The
mother-in-law,
mother-in-law case. Okay, if she conceived, yeah.
and she did deliver a male child,
Right.
and here you have a mature woman who's maybe in her thirties.
Right. Okay, we're not running social commentary. This is the way the halacha works. She's got to chill
Yeah,
out.
but
She's
would
got to
she?
chill out and wait. But that's the halacha, okay? Any other questions?
One second, doesn't she have to wait until the male until he's 13? Until
She has to wait till he's bar mitzvah. What's the next question?
No, that's it. And
That's it.
meanwhile,
Okay, we're glad we worked it out. I'm happy. Okay, let's move on. Now, okay, 1 minute. Okay, now in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, my hi tzarata. What does the Mishnah mean when it says, it's like verb, like in the Tanakhama, Shema mu'ubarati tzarata. Maybe she is pregnant, i.e., her tzara. In other words, the co-wife maybe is pregnant. In the first case, when Reuben went off with Bilhah. So he says, Hakamashmalan, lahat tzara hu dechayshinan. What the Tana is teaching me is she has to worry about the co-wife she knows about. He says, meaning, if witnesses come and tell her that the Sarah is not pregnant, then she has a green light to go forward and do Yibum. She doesn't have to worry. Maybe he married another wife and had a child with another wife. It's like Ein L'Davar Sof. And so, in other words, so the Tana is saying, Shemahi, that maybe she is pregnant, i.e., Tzara'ta. That's the only thing she's got to worry about, not about, taking something from the Beltharayim. Okay? Now, Lotina save Lotiabe Mahule. So we said in the first case in the Mishnah that she can't remarry because she might be Muhuyev and Yibum or Chalitza, and she can't do Yibum because she doesn't know whether the Tzara had given birth. If the Tzara gave birth to a male or female, there's no Chiyuv Yibum. So he says, now, again, the Gemara is going to ask, why can't she just do Chalitza? In other words, so the Gemara is going to ask, why can't she just do Chalitza? And then she'll cover herself. So the Gemara is going to say that we don't know this yet, that if she does Chalitza and then it turns out that the co-wife gave birth, it'll turn out that she's not really a Chalutza, and people will see her, let's say, marrying a Kohen, but she's really, they'll think she's Psula to marry a Kohen, but she's really kosher to marry a Kohen. So that's why she can't do the Chalitza. Okay, now, the Gemara says, Lo tisem tebe mechulei, so bishlam yibum elo, Sina says she can't do yibum, the dilma ma'abra b'kapaga b'ishad after raita. In other words, maybe her co-wife, Bilha, is pregnant unbeknownst to her, and if she does Yibum with her late husband's brother, so she's having, it's an Easter Erva, unless it's a mitzvah. So I understand, you can't do Yibum. A lotina say, but you say that she can't marry anybody until she clarifies the situation. Is Amai, why can't she remarry? Why don't we say Halecha Charov Nashim? Why don't we say most women, it will follow the majority. Rov nashim mit abrot v'yodot. Most women do become pregnant and do give birth. I assume it means that Bilha was in the parsha to give birth, but it means most women do conceive and do give birth. So why don't I just say that, you know, she probably gave birth and that's it. And now I could remarry. So lema Rav Meir hi the chai shlam yuta. So should we say that our Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rav Meir? Rameir is always choshesh for the minority, for the minority situation. We'll see in a minute. Now, in terms of the minority, so the Gemara is going to have some examples, but so the minority women don't become pregnant. So that's what she has to be choshesh for. So the Gemara says, afilu tamei rabban. You could even say our Mishnah can even go according to the Chachamim. Ki azli rabban bata ruba, when the Chachamim say they follow the row of the majority, Ruba de Ita come on. It means a majority that's in front of us. In other words, a majority that's in front of me that I can count up in front of me, that's a Ruba de Ita come on. That's a stronger majority than a Ruba de Leita come on. Ruba de Leita come on is a statistical majority. So the Chum hold, everybody follows, we hold a row of Ruba de Ita come on, go on Tesha Chanuyot. Tesha Chanuyot is we've discussed this in the past, if you have 9 stores in a town, let's say there are 10 stores that are selling meat. 9 of them sell kosher meat, 1 sells treif meat. So, and then you find a piece of meat on the street and you don't know which store it came from, you're entitled to follow the rove. You follow the majority, and that's a ruba de ita kaman. That's a rove. They follow the majority. The Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin as well. Let's see, you have a Sanhedrin of 23 members, 12 vote to acquit, 11 vote to convict. So then the person's acquitted. In other words, the guy takes up the vote. He says, about ruba de leita kaman, Lo azi rabbanan bataruba. Maybe if it's a robe that's late to come on, maybe the Chachamim will also agree we don't follow the robe. In other words, in this situation, we're saying statistically most women become conceived and bear children. That's what the Gemara is saying. So why is Rachel not entitled to rely on that statistical majority and say that, you know, my tzara Bilha probably conceived and bore a child, or at least conceived, you know, one on this trip, in which case I'm free, and then bore a child, and in which case I'm free to marry whoever I want to marry. See, so we said that our mission is following Rameir, who's choshish for the miyut. The minority don't conceive and don't bear a child. So maybe even the Chachamim would agree with that. So the Gemara says, lo azir ban about the ruba. Bere katanu katana, the ruba delay to come on him. So now the Gemara is going to give an example. If you have a katan or a katana in a yibum situation, which we'll explain in a minute, the Chachamim do follow the statistical majority. He says, the Tani, we learn in the Braisa, katan or katana lo chotzin velo miyabin dibur meir. A katan or a katana, meaning if the wife is a katana, and the wife could be a katana because her father married her off, so she's married on a deraisa level, she's a katana. Or if you're, like the example we were discussing a moment, Ruth, let's say the Yavam is a katan. The Yavam, now when we say katan here, I think it means it would have to be a katan who's a low, above age of 9 and a day. 9 and a day, his B is a B. That's what I think. And the katana would be 3 years and a day old. And with the B is a B. So he says, katan uktana lo chotzim lo miyavim did remeir. Quit remeir, they can't do chalit, so they can't do yibam. Everything has to wait until they become gdolim, meaning that they're over 12 and 13 and they're showing signs of puberty. It says, I'm a little mayor. So the Chacham said to Remeir, Yafel Marta Shein Cholzin. So we 100% agree with you, you can't do Chalitza. The Katan can't do Chalitza. Ish Ketiva Parsha. It says the word Ish in the Parsha of Yibam. So that means an adult. He says, Umashin and Isha La Ish. And we compare a woman to a man. It means like the way they had in the article was Yavam and Yibam are mentioned the same Pasuk. So whatever is true by the man, that he has to be an adult. So woman also has to be an adult. It says, "Kacha yeyas alaish shaliv ne beirachiv." So he says, "Elo matame miyamin." But why can't they do yibam? In other words, the chamim were saying to Remeir, "Why can't they do yibam?" So Amar lahem. So Remeir said to them, "Katan shemi yimasei saris. A katan can't do yibam." Because maybe he'll turn out to be saris, like a child that doesn't develop, you know, signs of puberty, and he'll be sterile. This is katana shematimatei iloni, and the katana maybe she'll turn out to be an iloni, like she's not developing signs. The nimsa pokim be'erva. So then it would come out if we let them do yibum, which be to have intimate relations, and you know, it doesn't have to be they're both katana. It means one could be a katan and one not. So the according to Meir, I'm worried about that because even though it's a minority of situations where one of the children would be sterile when they get older, but it would come out that they're having relations with an erva. In other words, it's more problematical for the adult member of the situation. In other words, let's say the widow is an adult and the yavam is 9 years and a day, or the widow is a katana and the yavam is an adult. So the one if one of them is sterile. So then they're having an Easter Erva. In other words, they're having a forbidden sexual relationship. So he says here, there, but we can't do that. Rabbanan Sabri, the Chachamim hold, Zil Bataruba, the Ketanim. We're going to follow the statistical majority of Ketanim. Barov Ketanim Lav Srisim Inu. He says, most Ketanim, the male minors, don't develop into Srisim. Zil Batarov Ketano, Barov Ketano, Lav Iloni Inu. And most Ketano are not Iloni. So the Chachamim, they hold that we always follow the majority. So the Chora, in our Mishnah, the Chamim would say that when Reuven and Bilhah go on their cruise and then or their overseas trip, and then the news comes back that Reuven is dead, so the Chora, the Chamim would say that I can't get in touch with Bilhah. It's reasonable for me, Rachel, to assume that Bilhah did conceive and, you know, give birth to a child. You'd have to wait a certain period of time. According to Chachamim. But our Mishnah says she has to be concerned, and therefore she can't marry and she can't do Yibam. And we'll talk about how long. So the Gemara says, El Machbarta Manitin Remeirhi. So it's clear to say that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Remeir. Okay, let's just pause for a second and we'll summarize and see where we are. So again, so the Mishnah says that if Reuven and Rachel go on an overseas trip and Reuven and Bilhah go on an overseas trip, and Rachel is in Eretz Israel, and Reuven and Bilhah set up camp in some distant country, and then the news comes back that Reuven is dead, Rachel cannot remarry, and she can't remarry because she might be Chayevet and Yibum or Chalitza, but she can't do Yibum because we're afraid that maybe Bilhah conceived and bore a child. I didn't say right. One second. She can't remarry. Right. She can't remarry because we're afraid that she's chayevet and yibum. So the question is, why don't we say that most women do conceive and then she could remarry? So the Gemara says, our Mishnah follows Remeir. Remeir says he's choshesh for the minority all the time. So the minority don't conceive and don't bear a child. So then she can't remarry because she might be chayevet and yibum. Okay. Who's got questions, comments to us, anything we did so far? Ruth, you okay? You're good here, Shaya? Okay, we're moving on. Okay. All right. Now, so we said that our Mishnah follows Remeir, who's Choshesh for the Miyut. he's choshesh for even a minority situation. So the Gemara says, "Umayu kimta Rameir." So what did you say that our Mishnah goes like? Who goes like Tan Rameir? So Ema Seifa. Let's now refer to the Seifa of the Mishnah and see if it plugs in what we said. Haitala Chamot, if she has a mother-in-law. So here in this example, Reuben only has one wife, Rachel, and Reuben doesn't take a trip. Reuben just has a heart attack and dies. But his mother, i.e. Rachel's mother-in-law, took a distant trip. Haitala Chamot, Eina Chosheshet. She, Rachel, and as far as Rachel knows, there are no siblings. So Reuben has no siblings. Reuben is dead, so she's a free woman. So the Tana Mishnah says, if she has a mother-in-law, the mother-in-law went off to the Beltarine, so she, Rachel, doesn't have to worry that the mother-in-law conceived and bore a child unbeknownst to her, in which case she became a big eagle. Am I? So why not? So why don't we say like this? Most women do conceive and bear children. A minority do miscarry. And the ones who do bring the child to term, so if I join the minority who miscarry, together with the half who do give birth to females, so the number of male children would be less than the rove. In other words, less than rove of the situations would result in a male. He says, Valechush. But if you say the Tana of our Mishnah is Reb Meir, Reb Meir is choshesh for the miyut. That's what you just said. So if that's the case, so why do we say that Eina choshesh? Rachel's got nothing to worry about, and she can remarry and do whatever she wants. Why is Rachel not afraid that her mother-in-law gave birth to another child, a male child, in which case she has to worry about a yibum situation? In Achinami, she'll have to wait years, but she's got to worry about a yibum situation. So the Gemara says, Dilma, David b'yichask l'shuk lo chayish. So the Gemara says, maybe in this situation, when Rachel's mother-in-law went off on the trip, as far as we knew at that point in situation, there was no yibum. No yibum was on the, you know, it was visible in the horizon. In other words, it didn't look like yibum was in the parsha. So why don't we say there's a presumption? A chazaka is like your status. So she has status at the time the mother-in-law left that she doesn't require yibum. And now with this miyut, you want to go against the previous status. Maybe even the chazal shuk lo chayish. Maybe Rameir is not choshish for a miyut. A miyut is already like down a little bit, like a minority when there's a pre-existing chazaka that she doesn't require yibum. So the Gemara says that's nice, but reisha di chazik li yibum. But then in the Reisha case, where, remember, the Reisha case is when Bilha and Reuven went on the trip, and we're saying she can't remarry, that she can't remarry because we're concerned that maybe the tzarik be birth. So Reisha di chazik li yibum. So, but in the Reisha case, one second. I didn't say right. I'm sorry. Let me go back. Reisha di chazek liyibum. In other words, in the Reisha case, we say she can't do yibum. She can't do yibum with anybody because we're afraid that maybe the co-wife gave birth. Maybe, but she can't do yibum. But there, at the time they left on the trip, as far as the way things looked, she's a yibum candidate, so that's her status. So tiyabim, so she should be able to yibum. In other words, if you're saying there's a previous status, so Rameir doesn't hold the miyut will upset the previous status. So in the safer case, the previous status is that she's ichaz kalashuk, that she can marry anybody because there's no brothers around, and that's with the mother-in-law. There are no brothers around, so we're not going to upset the cart. So if that's the case, so in the Reisha case, I say she can't do yibum because maybe the, like a child was born or whatever, but that's just that's going to be the chazal yibum tiyabim, so she should be able to do yibum. In other words, the 1 second. I'm sorry. The question was why she can't remarry in the first case. You know, I keep getting confused with this. In other words, the question was why can't she remarry in the Reish of the Mishnah? So we said that Remeir is choshesh lemiyuta. Remeir is choshesh that maybe the co-wife gave birth. And so if the co-wife gave birth, one second. Yeah, he says, this is on page 119A3. If we follow the Chazak in the Mishnah's first case, the woman's husband, who had a known brother, went overseas with her co-wife and then he died, where the widow was in presumptive state of sanity to be taken Yibum, since when the husband left, he was childless and had a brother, Tiyabim, let her be taken in Yibum on the basis of that Chazakah. Why does the Mishnah say she can't be taken in Yibum till she ascertains that the husband did not have an offspring with this other woman? So Tiyabim. So the Chazak Yibum Tiyabim, Am Rav Nachman, Am Rav Baravua, Reish of the Easter Karet, Chashashu. So Rav Baravua says in the Reisha, where if she does Yibum and is not a Yibum candidate, she'll be Chayav Karet. So there they were Choshesh for the Miyut. There they're Choshesh for the Miyut. We have to check out. Maybe she's not a Yibum candidate. Seifa, the Easter Lav. In the Seifa, the worst case scenario would be that she transgresses a Lav, which is Lotiyadis Sinema Chusel Yizar, Lo Chashu. I'm a Rav, a Mithi, a Had Derayta, about Derayta, Mal Easter Kari, Mal Easter Lav. So Rav says, look, they're both Easter and Derayta. What difference to make one's Kari, one's Easter Lav? Elam a Rav, turn page, the top line on Kofi Tenu days. Elam, I'm a Rav, Reisha, Chazaka, Leibum. This is, in the Reisha case, the presumption is that she's a Yibum candidate. Beruba Lashuk. And in other words, let's go back. In other words, in the Reisha case, when Bilha and Reuven go on their trip, as far as we know, Rachel, if anything happens to Reuven, then Rachel has to do Yibum. That's the presumption. But Reuben Lashuk, but the Rove cuts the other way. The Rove, most women do become pregnant and give birth. That would lead me to a different result. In other words, the Chazak and the Rove are at loggerheads with each other. The Chazak is, she's a woman that should do Yibum. The Rove is that most women will give birth, and then she doesn't need to do Yibum. But Chazaka lo Adif, so the Chazaka doesn't win out on a situation like that, but Chazaka lo Adif, ki Ruba. And the Chazaka is not as strong as the Rove. But Aiti mi'ut dema pilot, but then we have a minority of women that miscarry. Smoke la Chazaka, and we take the minority of women. In other words, the key is, if she gives birth to any live offspring, then there's no mitzvah of Yibum. That's cutting against the Yibum. So some women miscarry. So take the minority that miscarry, smoke the Chazaka, join it with the Chazaka. In other words, if she miscarries, then she needs to Yibum. And the Chazaka is she needs to Yibum. Babalei palgu palga lo tinasei lo tityabei. So in other words, in the Reisha case, if you weigh the Chazaka that she has to Yibum, the Rove would teach me she doesn't have to do Yibum or she can't do Yibum. But the Rove is weakened because there's also a piece in there that miscarries. Some of the women miscarry and then that cuts towards Yibum. So if we take that Miyot that do miscarriage and join it together with the Chazaka with Yibum, it's like a 50-50 situation. So we say she's caught betwixt them between. She can't get married. She can't do Yibum until she clarifies the situation. The safer case, which is with the mother-in-law, Chazaka Lashuk, the presumption when the mother-in-law took the trip, if anything happens to the husband, she's free to marry whoever she wants. The Ruba Lashuk and the Rove would also cut to the Shuk, because with the mother-in-law, the mother-in-law would have to give birth to a male child in order to be held chayav a case in Yibum. If she miscarries, no Yibum, there's no Yibum, and if she gives birth to a female, there's no Yibum. So it's only if she gives birth to a male. So he says, So Seifa Chazaka, so the presumption, the Seifa Chazaka the Shuk, the Seifa, the presumption is to go to the Shuk, and the Rove is the Shuk. The Zachar Miyuta, the Miyuta, and so the male children is a miyut of the miyut. In other words, there's two things cutting against it. A miyut of the miyut of the kaish remeir. A miyut of the miyut of remeir is not koshesh. All right. I know it was difficult. That was difficult. All right. Any questions, comments to us, anything we did so far? I'm sorry. Ruth, you okay? Or Shai, you okay? Okay. All right. Let's go keep moving. All right. Now, okay, we're six lines down on Kuf Yud Tet Amud Beis. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. Lotina Sevetolitabe. So we said that Rachel cannot remarry because there's a concern that she might be obligated to do Yibum or Chalitza. And she can't do Lotitabem. She can't do Yibum because maybe she's not obligated to do Yibum because maybe her co-wife Bilhah gave birth. So he says, Ula Olam. So what does that mean? She can never remarry and never do Yibum forever? Amar Ziri La'atzma Shlosha Chadashim. So Ziri says, as far as she is concerned, meaning Rachel, Rachel has to wait 3 months. So let's look at Rashi. La'atzma Shlosha, the 10th narrow line in Rashi. La'atzma Shlosha, B'shvil Atzma Tamtin Shlosha Chadashim. For herself, she's got to wait 3 months. The Chol Hanashim Tzrichot Lamtin Shlosha Chadashim. That all women have to wait 3 months after the termination of a marriage. Even if the husband died and he was, you know, on an overseas trip, you still have to wait 3 months. He says, even though I'm not concerned that she's pregnant, in other words, the idea is maybe she's pregnant, but even in a case where I know she's not pregnant, because the husband's been on a trip for 9 months, she still has to wait 3 months. He says, Das Kain of Ailoni Nami Tzrichalam Tzrich Kadashim. Even if the woman's a Zekena, she's, you know, menopausal, or she's an Iloni, that she never developed simanim, she still have to wait 3 months. The halacha is that all the women have to wait 3 months. Any woman, when a marriage is terminated, you have to wait 3 months before you remarry. So back in the Gemara, so for 3 months, she's got to wait to see whether she's pregnant. And then for her co-wife, she's got to wait 9 months from the time of the death. In other words, so maybe the co-wife, you know, gave birth overseas. He says, becholetzet mimanavshah. And then at that point, according to this opinion, she'll do chalitza mimanavshah. So if you look at the Rashi, in other words, Bilhah went off. I haven't heard anything from Bilhah, but I heard that Reuben died. Reuben died on, you know, the first of Shvat. So I'll count 9 months from Shvat. And at that point, we figure that Bilhah, if she was pregnant, gave birth. And at that point, I'll do chalitza, because then either she gave birth, in which case I'm off the hook, or if she didn't give birth, I'm doing chalitza, and I'm also off the hook. So I got everything figured out. Let's look at Rashi. L'chaber t'tisha, b'shul chaber t'shemim uberet, yitzarato, asritha hilomtin t'shah chadashim, shafilu chalitza lo t'ina se b'toch t'tisha. Even if she does chalitza within the 9 months, she can't remarry. Shema chaberetam uberedi, v'ablan shel kayama, v'in chalitza poteret lezu. In other words, chalitza, if she gives birth, if Bilhah gives birth, it'll come out the chalitza. In other words, let's say Rachel does chalitza and she doesn't wait the 9 months. So then, and then she remarries, but then Bilhah gives birth, so it comes out that she transgressed the law, because at that time she wasn't allowed. Blood doesn't potter till it's born. And the Gemara has earlier, they quoted in the article that according to Reish Lakish, that even if she gives birth, that that either way the chalitz is not good. In other words, if her co-wife is pregnant and Wait, how did I say it here? One second. Yeah. So according to Reish Lakish, even the fetus is not viable. In other words, even if Bilhah was pregnant, but the fetus wasn't viable, let's say it was a stillborn birth or something like that, the chalitza is still not good according to Reish Lakish. We follow Reish Lakish that. So you can't do the chalitza. Anyway, so according to the first opinion, to wait 3 months for herself and then to wait 9 months for her friend. So it means 9 months basically what she's got to wait. And then she'll do chalitza and then she'll be in good shape. That's the first opinion. He says, back in the Gemara, Abayi bar Avin, Rab Chanina bar Avin, sounds like the brothers, Amri, Tarbayi, they both say, Zeir Shem Yehi Vlad ben Kayama, So they say the problem is a little more problematical. In other words, even if you do chalitza after the 9 months, but maybe her friend gave birth to a bar kayama, to a viable birth, and so mamela, the chalitza was totally unnecessary. So if the chalitza is unnecessary, now chalutz is not allowed to marry a kohen. So she went through a ceremony, but the ceremony was unnecessary. So we don't want her to do chalitza because then it looks like she's got like the mark of Cain, but she doesn't. So the Gemara says, then you need to make an announcement that she's permissible through kohen. So why don't we do that? Maybe there'll be people who are present for the chalitza, but they won't be present when they make the, you know, announcement that the chalitza was unnecessary. But Amri Kasheru Chalutza the Kohen. They'll say that you're permitting the Chalutza the Kohen. So, you know, I left out a couple of lines in the Gemara. Let me go back. So he says, around 8 lines down in the Gemara, which we near the small Aleph. Reb Chanina Amar La'atzma Shlosha. Reb Chanina says for herself, you need 3 months. L'chaverta li'olam. That for a chavera, she has to wait forever till she clarifies what the status is with her co-wife. So the Gemara says, "B'taklos mimanavshach." Why doesn't she do chalitza mimanavshach? She can't. She wait more than 9 months. Do the chalitza. What could be the harmful? So Abai Barav and Rechini Barav and Amri Tarbai. They both say, "Yizera shemihiv la ben kayam." Because maybe Bilah will give birth to a viable offspring. And then she needs an announcement that she's permissible to a kohen. So why don't we do that? Because maybe there'll be people who are present for chalitza, but not by the hachraza. They'll say you're permitting the chalitza for the kohen. So therefore, according to the second opinion, she can't do chalitza until she must clarify what, you know, Bilhah's status is. Okay, now let's do a few more lines, and then we'll take another pause. So Tanan, in yesterday's daf, we had the Mishnah. Now, there's going to be a kasha on what we just said. The woman, here in this case, the woman takes a trip with her husband. And as far as we know, when they left, there were no children. So then she comes back and she says, I gave birth to a son when we were overseas. But she says, my son and my husband both died, and my son predeceased my husband. So the woman is ne'emanet. So here, in other words, that she has a green light for Yibam. So she's got a green light for Yibam. So Rashi says, in other words, we're not afraid that maybe she's like making something up because she really likes the Yavam. Since at the time she left, the presumption was she needs Yibam. And she's the one who tells us that she gave birth, but she says that the son died before the husband. So it's Pesha Asar, Pesha Hit here. The mouth that asked her, which is her mouth, that's the mouth that permits her. So therefore, she's Nemenet, and we'll say you're a green light for Yibam. But, Meit Ba'ali B'Karkach B'ni, if she says my husband died, and then my son died, ain't a Nemenet. Then she's not believed. In other words, then she's saying that I'm not allowed to do Yibam. So she's not believed because we're afraid that that she doesn't like the Yibam, doesn't want to marry him. So she's making up the story. He says, but we're still choshesh for her story, and we say that maybe Taka, she did have the son, so I'll make it do Chalisa and Ayibam. So we'll do it that way. So, we're going to do Chalitza. But if you're going to say, L'chumra, I'm going to do Chalitza, maybe you're going to do Chalitza with her, and then witnesses will show up, and it'll come out that she said MS. that her son survived the husband, and the son died left, and the talis was totally unnecessary. And then she's going to be like in that situation we had before. So Amara Papa Begrusha. So her Papa says, the Mishnah is talking about a case where she is already a Grusha. She was divorced from prior marriage. So anyway, she's prohibited to a Kohen. So therefore we say, Du Chalitza. Rav Chiya Bered Rav Huna Amar, Ba'amra Nibahu Nechbeinu Bama'ara. So Rav Huna says that she says that I and my husband and child were hiding out in a cave, and there was nobody around, no witnesses around, and my husband died, and then my son died after the husband. So there, we're not afraid that anybody's going to show up afterwards, and then we'll permit the chalitza. All right, who's the question, comments, thoughts, anything we did? Are you okay, Ruth? You okay, Shaya? All right, let's go on to the next Mishnah, and then we'll do some more Gemara, and then maybe we'll get a little further than tomorrow's time. Okay? Okay, so the Mishnah says, Shtei Yevamot, Zuo merit mate Bali, Zuo merit mate Bali. Now, here you have a situation where Reuven is married to two women. Reuven is married, we'll say, to Rachel, and he's married to Bila. And I didn't say right. Let me go back. I'm sorry. Let me start the story. We'll wipe the slate clean. You have two Yevamot, meaning you have two women that are married to two brothers. So we'll have Reuven and Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah. Rachel are not sisters, but Reuben and Shimon are brothers, okay? So Reuben and Shimon are brothers. So the two Yevamot, Rachel says Reuben died, and Leah says Shimon died. They both come back, they each say that their husbands died. Shtei Yevamot, Zuh merit meit ba'ali, Zuh merit meit ba'ali, Zura surah meit ba'ala shel Zuh, Zura surah meit ba'ala shel Zuh. Now, the key here is, if you remember, we learned in the Mishnah on Shabbos that the Yevamah is not Naaman to testify about, in other words, if you have two sisters-in-law, in other words, let's say you have Reuben and Shimon, who are brothers, so Leah cannot testify concerning, you know, Rachel's situation, and Rachel can't testify concerning Leah's situation, because we're afraid that they want to each sabotage the other one, that they don't, you know, want a situation where they could ever be around, where they'd be like a co-wife with them. They don't want a situation like that. So here we're running into like a sort of a stira. On the one hand, the women are Naaman to say their own husbands are dead. That they could say. So Rachel says Reuben died and Leah says Shimon died. That's okay. But now when Rachel says Reuben died, Rachel is in essence, but there's Shimon. So Rachel is a candidate for Yibam for Shimon. And when Leah says that Shimon died, then Leah is a candidate for Yibam with Reuven. So for that, they'd have to rely on the other one's testimony. So they can't rely on the other one's testimony because maybe the other one is making up the story because they want to just, you know, sabotage them and, you know, and create a situation where they would never be able to, never be part of the family. In other words, so let's think back on the Gemara. So Shtei Yevamot, Zuh merit meit ba'ali, Zuh merit meit ba'ali. Zuh asur b'nei ba'ala shel Zuh, Zuh asur b'nei ba'ala shel Zuh. Now, l'zuh eidim, l'zuh ein eidim. Now, let's say we have the same situation, but we have Reuben and Rachel. So Rachel has eidim that Reuben is dead. And Leah doesn't have eidim that Shimon is dead. He says, et sheyesh la eidim asura. So vis-a-vis Rachel, so Rachel's husband is dead. That's clear. But Rachel vis-a-vis Shimon, that's still, you know, dependent on Leah's testimony. But vis-a-vis Leah, as Leah looks at the world, Leah says Shimon is dead, and then vis-a-vis Reuven, we have Adam. He says, "Lezu Adam, Lezu Ein Adam, Etch Keshla Adam Asura, Vi Etch Ein La Adam Utera." Now, Lezu Banim, Lezu Ein Banim. Now, let's say one of them has children, one doesn't have children. Let's say Reuven and Rachel have children, and Leah and Shimon don't have children. Etch Keshla Banim Utera. So, if Reuven and Rachel have children, and then Rachel says Reuven is dead, but they have children, so Rachel's free as a lark, because Reuven's dead, we believe her, and they have children, so she doesn't have to worry about Yibam. But she ain't Labanim Asura. But the one, Leah, who doesn't have children, she's prohibited. Now, Nityabmu, now here's a different case. Now again, we have Reuven was married to Rachel, and Shimon was married to Leah. And then Rachel came and said Reuben is dead. Leah came and then Shimon was dead. So the East Ashton were on the other ones. But let's say there were other brothers involved, not just Reuben and Shimon, Levi and Yehuda. And then, so Levi and Yehuda, they could do Yibam with them. So let's say Nidyamu. So let's say Levi did Yibam with Rachel, and Yehuda did Yibam with Leah. He says, Umeitu Yibamin. And then after a period of time, Levi and Yehuda died. So he says, Asur Lihina say. So according to the Tanakh Mishnah, now we're back to square one. They can't remarry because that they have to, in order to remarry, they're relying on each other's testimony that the Yavam, i.e. Shimon and Reuven, is dead. Reb Lazar Omer, Hov Hutru Libamin, Hutru the Poladam. Reb Lazar says that since they became permissible to the other Yavamim, they're permissible to everybody. And we'll see in the Gemara what his Svara is. Okay? Any questions, comments, or thoughts on this Mishnah? Okay, let's go further. Now, the Gemara says, Tana in the Brice is teaching me a new case. Luzu Edim Ubanim, there's a different case. Let's say Rachel has Edim and children, Luzu Lo Edim and Lobanim. Shteimu Taro, they're both permissible. In other words, Rachel has Edim that Reuben is dead and she's got children. So Rachel can remarry. Leah says that Shimon is dead, but there are Edim that Reuben died. So everything's fine with that. Now, this next case we had in our Mishnah. Nityamu, let's say they were both taken in Yibam by other brothers, by Levi and Yehuda, who made to a Yibamin. Then Levi and Yehuda die. He says, Asurin lihinase, they can't remarry, because now they're back to the status quo ante. Reb Lazar Omer, hold v'hutu Yibamin, v'hutu v'kodam. Reb Lazar says, since they became permissible to the Yibamin, they're permissible to everybody. So by Rava, Mayakama de Reb Lazar, what's the reason that Reb Lazar says that they're hutru l'chol adam? Is it that he holds? Now, Tzara is usually a co-wife. Here he's using an elusive term. He means it like the sister-in-law. In other words, the Yavama. In other words, is it because he holds that the Yavama, he disagrees with the Tana of the previous Mishnah? Those that the Yavama could testify. So that's one way to say it. Now, that's the way, that's one way to explain the Gemara. But Tosfos, they quoted the article, they quoted from Tosfos. Tosfos doesn't think it's likely that Reb Lazar would be so much cholek on the previous Mishnah, but it could be that he's cholek in this way. In other words, where the main purpose of the Eidos doesn't relate to the sister-in-law. In other words, the main purpose of the Eidos is that their husband is dead and they're free to marry, and then incidentally it impacts on the sister-in-law. So maybe he holds that the Eidos is permissible. Maybe is that what he holds? Odilma, Mishim, the Hilo Mekatla Nafsha. Or, no, maybe he holds that in Akinami, all Eidos is prohibited. But the Metzius is that she wouldn't want to mess herself up as well. And when she says, when Leah says, my husband is dead, and Rachel says, my husband is dead, they're going to marry other men. So they're going to mess themselves up. They're going to be engaged in what would otherwise be, if they're lying, there's another heir that's involved. So the fact that they're like going to remarry, that lends credence to the nemanis of their testimony. That's what we think. Those are two possibilities. So the main nafkamina. So the Gemara says, what's the nafkamina between the two hezbeirim? So the top line on Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph. Now here we're talking about a different case now. Here's a woman goes with her husband, in other words, on to overseas. In other words, again, we have Rachel, Reuven, and Bilha. So Reuven and Bilha go overseas, and then Bilha comes from overseas trip and says that Reuven died on the trip. So Bilha says Reuven is dead. So if Reuven is dead, then Bilha can remarry, and then Rachel can also remarry because the husband is dead. So the nafkamina would be whether the co-wife can remarry before the one who gave testimony. If I say that a tzara can really testify for her co-wife, if you see like the Bali Tosfot, where even the testimony relates to her, but only incidentally relates to the co-wife, so then Rachel doesn't have to wait for Bilha to remarry. Rachel can remarry right away. If you say the reason is because she wouldn't mess herself up, you know, so he says, so then we would wait till Bilha remarries. And if Bilha remarries, that's proof that Reuben is really dead. But if she doesn't remarry, we wouldn't permit Rachel to remarry. So that's the question. Everything good with this? Everybody good so far? You good? Okay. So the Gemara says Tashma. So we'll go forward and let me see if I can get to the next Mishnah tonight, and then we'll see where we go tomorrow. So this is my. So Tashma. So the Gemara tries to bring a proof from our Mishnah. The Mishnah says Reb Lazar Omer Hov Hutru Libamin Hutru L'Chol Adam. So according to the Tana Reb Lazar, and that's the one we're trying to figure out now. So that was the case where he had this is a different case with Reuben and Shimon that were married to Rachel and Leah. And it says that they had Levi and Yehuda married them in Yibum. And then Reb Lazar says that since they married other people, so now if Levi and Yehuda die, they can marry anybody. I don't have to be worried about the previous testimony. He says, so we take it that he's saying since they remarried, since they each remarried, it was Yibum, but they each remarried, so that now when their husbands die, they don't have to worry about anything. So if you say, because a woman wouldn't mess herself up, that makes sense, that she marries, and so now the other one can marry. If you say it's because that a tzara is allowed to testify concerning her co-wife, and here it's like the sisters-in-law, he says, Apo gablo insiv nami. So the Gemara takes it since in the Mishnah, Reb Lazar said, "Hold the hutul yibamin." They became permissible to the yibamin, meaning they married their yibamin. So now you don't have to worry about it anymore. So it's the second side of the chakira that since they're relying on it for themselves, they can really rely for the other one. Reb Lazar. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara deflects that proof. Reb Lazar the vrayim ka'amar lahu. Reb Lazar could just be talking within the sheet of the chachamim. He says, "Well, didi tsarami lechaberato, the apogav lo intiv min sabina law." There was Reb Lazar could be saying, "I'm more extreme. I hold that a tsara can always testify concerning her co-wife, either totally, which is one way to explain the Gemara, or the way the Tosfos says, if it's like incidental." He says, "El didhu, but according to you, you don't want to go so far. Odlemia daheka the intiv min sabina law, mishim hilo makakla nafsha, but you should at least concede that where she herself relies on the testimony, that she wouldn't mess herself up, you know, with an Easter erva, you know, to unless it was true." The Rabbanan, the Chachamim, what is the response to that line of argument? Like, that's what Shimshon. Remember, Shimshon was captured by the Plishtim, and they blinded him. And then he said, like, let me die with the Plishtim. And he grabs the two pillars, and then the whole building comes crashing down. So sometimes, like the sister-in-law may hate the other sister-in-law so much that even it messes herself up, so she'll do. That's the cost of doing business. So Tashma, so Gemara tries to bring another proof. If a woman went with her husband overseas, uvava amra mei bali, then she comes back, she says, my husband died, tinase b'titol tubaka. So we let her remarry, and she collects the ksuba, but tzara ta asura. Her tzara cannot remarry, because he says, Reb Lazar Omer, hol v'hutra hi, hutra nami tzara ta. He says that since she became permissible, the tzara also became permissible. So that sounds like the tzad that she could testify for the sister-in-law, even if she didn't remarry. Ema hol v'hutra b'ni seif. So the Gemara says, no, you should understand that that's actually a Mishnah you had in yesterday's daf. You should understand that Mishnah that since she remarried, therefore you can rely on it. Now the Gemara says, "Belechush dilma begita atoy." So the Gemara says, like within the sheet of Reb Lazar, even if we say that she's like in other words, she says that the husband died, and that she since she's relying on it, so we can rely according to Reb Lazar. But why are we now afraid that she's a really sneaky sister-in-law, not sister-in-law, is the tsara, the co-wife, that she's a sneaky co-wife, and she really got a get from the husband. In other words, the husband really didn't die. The husband really divorced her. And she brought the get with her. And she says, my husband died, to mislead the co-wife. And then when the husband shows up, the co-wife will be out of the picture because she'll have married somebody else. So and the only reason she says that he really died is she wants to mess up the co-wife. So the Gemara says, even Israel Hachanami. If her husband was Israel, you're right. We would be worried about that. That she marries a Kohen. So if she has a get, she's going to mess herself up as well. So the second husband is a Kohen. We're not afraid that she's a Grusha, and then we can rely on that. Okay. I think this is going to be it for tonight. 1 second. Ruth, any questions? Ruth, are you good? You good, Ruth? Okay. Now, 1 second. Let me end the recording. Don't go. 1 second.